Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
All right, and remember in the church in Corinth, they had some problems. And we've looked at some of those before, and Paul is addressing something in this area of the scripture in chapters 12, 13, and 14, and it has to do with spiritual gifts. Now, it appears that the church at Corinth, they were really full of spiritual gifts. They were heavy in that area, but they had some problems because of the way they were reacting to them. So the problems they had were in their attitude toward the spiritual gifts. There was nothing wrong with the spiritual gifts themselves. And we addressed that a little bit last week, and we're going to take a look at that a little bit further. If you want to look back to 1 Corinthians 12 down to verse 21, and notice as we read this now, what some of the problems must have been in the background, okay? Because Paul's dealing with them as he speaks to this church at Corinth. In verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So if he's talking specifically about the people in that church, some had a spiritual gift that they thought was superior to other people. And they saw that their gift was a needed gift and the other person's wasn't really that important. So notice as he goes on in verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And he's talking about our own body and the way we treat ourselves, okay, different parts of our body. And he's saying the church is the same way. There are some parts or some gifts that might seem as not important as other gifts. And he's trying to get us to see that they're all important, just like every part of our body is important. As you know, if there's a part of our physical body that's not working, it causes discomfort or a problem for the rest of the body. And he's saying that's how the church is also. We all have a gift, and every gift is important. And if we think our gift isn't, it's like saying one part of our body we really don't need, okay? So it goes on then. It says the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. And here's the main point he's getting at. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. So apparently, in this church at Corinth, they had divisions over the gifts. The gifts are never intended to be divisive like this. They're meant to make us stronger and to be a healthier body of believers, not to cause division. Okay, so he goes on, he says that there be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. So he's letting them know that everybody is important in the body of Christ. Everybody has been gifted by the Lord. The moment you were saved, God has been working in your life, and he has placed something within you to be used to encourage the body and to reach others for Christ if you have an outreach gift. Okay? So those gifts are supposed to be functioning together. Now look at the end of that chapter. In verse 31, it says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. So if you were at the church of Corinth and you received this letter, and it's the first time it was being read, and Paul had just gone through a kind of a quick explanation of the gifts, showing how they're all important, how they should be working together, and that not everybody is given every gift, you know, how we have to need each other. Then he says, I want you to desire the greater gifts. You'd probably be on the edge of your seat saying, okay, Paul, let me know, what is it? Because I want that one. And in a church like this at Corinth, everybody was shooting to get that gift that everybody would say, wow, he's got that gift, you know. They wanted prestige from that. So he's got them to that point, and then he kind of switches gears on them. And he says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Now here's the question for us. What is more important than all the gifts in the church? Is there something that's more important? And absolutely there is, and the Lord's going to talk about it in chapter 13. And what I see him doing here is the Lord is going to expose this church at Corinth to what is lacking. Now, they think they've got all these spiritual gifts, and they're just pretty high-minded over these things, you know, and they really saw themselves, I'm sure, as this fantastic church, and my gift is better than your gift kind of an attitude. And the Lord is showing them there's extremely important thing that is missing from that scenario, okay, as these people are trying to have church and what they would call a real spiritual atmosphere. And it was spiritual, all right, but the Lord says you're missing something that you can't do without, okay? And that's where he's headed, and that's what we're going to look at too. Now, let's just look at, just to get in our mind a little bit, some of the problems that must have been going on in this church so we know how this can affect them if they take to heart what Paul's about to say. We know there were divisions because Paul spoke directly against that. We assume also there must have been spiritual pride, where somebody was saying, I have my gift, and my gift is better than your gift. And they had classified the gifts, apparently, as some were better, you know. And, of course, we're going to see the one gift that must have really been lifted up was the gift of tongues. And they saw that as the ultimate. If you have this gift, then you have arrived, you know. You are spiritual. And we see that's not a foreign thing to the church today still. There are some churches that will promote, unless you speak in tongues, you probably aren't even saved. And they go to that kind of extreme. So that's still around today, that kind of funny thinking. So even though Paul dealt with this 2,000 years ago, it's still not a dead issue because it's still alive. And that's why we still need these chapters 12, 13, and 14 to give us God's balance on the gifts. So they had this spiritual pride. They were apparently looking down on other people, that your gift isn't as important as my gift. They had that kind of attitude going on. And apparently they wanted recognition because of the gift they had. And we see all that in chapter 12 as he's bringing all that together, saying every gift is working together and everyone is important. There's not one that's more important than the other. They're all needed. So he's been working on that. Now, in chapter 13, he's going to bring this up. What is the missing ingredient? And I'm sure you're probably familiar with chapter 13. You know it's talking about love. Now, let me ask you, how many of you, is this is one of your favorite chapters in the New Testament? It probably does affect you that way, and it should, because it's one that we like to read, but it's one that we really need to live out, okay? Because the church is supposed to look like this description we're going to see here. All right. Now, as we get into it, let me just say up front, we go through this list, and if you've read this before, and you look at yourself and think, man, I'm not even close, you know, to what this looks like, this passage was not meant to condemn you or me. It was not intended for that. This passage is to encourage us that this is what we should be striving for, okay? Because he's going to talk about that at the very end of it, saying you should be pursuing this, okay? Now, this is greater than all the gifts. So let's see how he's going to introduce this to us in chapter 13, verse 1. And he talks about this one, first of all, if I speak in the tongues or the languages of men and of angels. And remember, this church saw that the tongues issue was tops. It's the pinnacle for them of spirituality. And he's going to deal with that more in chapter 14. But he says here, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And think about those things. I know you've probably heard instruments in the band before where they smash those cymbals together. And if you notice, when you're listening to a song they're playing, they don't consistently smash those cymbals together, do they? They have a very appropriate time where all of a sudden it comes and then you smash them and then they stop. Okay? And what would happen if they continued to just smash those together, you know? It would make a lot of noise, but it would be extremely irritating. And that's the picture you get here of this resounding gong or the clanging cymbal. And he's saying, if you and I talk and we think we've got this great gift, like one of the speaking gifts of teaching, you know, or evangelism or any kind of speaking gift, if we think we have that and we put ourselves up on this pedestal, he says you can do a lot of that, but if there's no love, you're just making a lot of noise and you're probably irritating a lot of people, just like that clanging noise that you would hear over and over again. So this is a challenge to us. Okay, and I think we're going to get an excellent principle from the Word of God as we go through this study and see how love should really be the motivation for whatever we're doing. And we'll see how the Lord works through that. So he says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, if I've got the highest language imaginable, even speaking up there with the angels, you know, he said, if I'm doing those things, but I don't have love as a motivation, that's not why I'm doing it. I'm just making a lot of noise and irritating folks. He goes on in verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Now, your translation might say something like this: I am nothing. Because I think all the translations say it the same way. And I just emphasize that because some people think that, you know, I got the gift and that makes me really something. And the Lord says, if love isn't the motivation, if love isn't why you're doing it, then you are nothing. Okay? Whew, that's pretty humbling, isn't it? Because we see people, even on TV, you can flip your TV on and see some of these guys flaunting their gifts, you know, and showing them off in front of other folks. And the Lord says, you can really look sharp when it comes to spiritual gifts. But if it's not out of love, you are nothing. Yeah, so this one's pretty plain. The Lord didn't mince words with that. And how do you like the gifts he's talking about? And he just mentioned some of the gifts here to show you that the ones that you might lift up and think are really awesome, especially if you have it, you know, then you might put yourself up there. But if it's not love, man, you really miss the boat. He talks about the gift of prophecy. And simply the gift of prophecy is taking the word of God and delivering it to whomever God allows you to deliver it to. You know, and now there may be a specific time that you have a word for someone to share, but the majority of the time it's the word of God that you're sharing with someone else. And I don't know if you've had that before where you're reading a scripture and a passage and all of a sudden someone comes to mind. You know, and that's the Lord trying to let you know that maybe you need to share this with that person. Okay, and that's a confirmation to them that God is working in their life too. So the Lord says there's a gift of prophecy. If you have that and you can fathom all mysteries, you know, you anything that the Lord throws at you from his word, you have an answer for it. You know what it's talking about. He says if you can do that, you have all knowledge. And even if you have this kind of faith that can move mountains, man, you can really do some stuff. If it's not based on love, you are nothing. Wow, that's humbling stuff. He goes on in verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor, and he's talking about the gift of giving here. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, can you imagine that you've lived your entire life in poverty because you've given everything away, and you've even, even given your life as a martyr? And the Lord says, if you've done all of that stuff, but you didn't do it out of love, you don't get anything. And there's some folks, I think, that are going to be surprised because they've been kind of using their gift as a badge, you know, and thinking one day I stand before God and he's going to say, man, well done, good and faithful servant, you know. And they're going to stand before him and the Lord's going to say, got nothing for you, get to the back of the line, you know. And they're going to have their hand out waiting for some big crown, you know, and the Lord's going to say, you got all that on earth. You did it for glory then, and that's what you got. It wasn't out of love. You didn't really care about those people. You just did it, you know, because you thought it would make you look good. So, yeah, this passage really helps to humble us and get us back down to earth, what we should be like. But the Lord shows us the extreme importance, the necessity to have love. Now, I'm encouraged by this one, and it really, really hits me because I know some folks in the Christian realm who are big on knowledge, you know, and they know a lot about the scripture, and they're able to tell other people about it, but they don't have love as the motivation. And the Lord would speak to them here and say, you got nothing going for you. You might have a lot of head knowledge, but if it never made it to your heart, and you're never using that love that God put in you to share that, you don't get anything for that. And it's humbling because there's a tendency for us, especially as we get into the Word and we study, we might think we know something, you know, and get to that point where we think we can show somebody what we know, you know. And when that happens, if we're doing that for any other reason other than I love you and I want to get this across to you because it's so important, you need it. If it's any other reason, the Lord says, you don't get any reward for that. You're not spiritual in my eyes for that, you know. The Lord goes down that list and says, you didn't do it out of love. Now, that's extremely, extremely important. And we're going to see this a little bit closer still. I want you to look at something in John 13 a second. Because as we talk about this love, I want to give you a definition for it, but I want to show you some scripture on it first. John chapter 13, then we're going to define this a little closer. John chapter 13 and down to verse 34. Jesus says here that he's giving a new command to his disciples. And he talks about this new command throughout the New Testament. It keeps referring back to this new command. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, which is sacrificially, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, I know some folks who wouldn't change the scripture per se, but in verse 35, they would basically say it this way, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have biblical knowledge, you know, or put something else in there. And the Lord says, no, they're going to know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So how important is this love issue to God? It's extremely important. It is the foundation. If we get away from the love aspect, we've missed everything God was talking to us about. We've missed the real boat. And we'll be standing there, you know, and like I said, when the Lord's handing out rewards and we've got our hands open, the Lord's going to say, you didn't do it out of love. Because love is that important to the Lord. So man, we cannot forsake the love God has called us to. There's another passage I want you to see in 1 John chapter 3. So turn to the back of your Bible, and just before Revelation and Jude, you'll find 1 John chapter 3. And it defines it a little closer still for us here. And instead of John 3:16, it's 1 John 3:16. Says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And he goes on to talk about that a little bit more. But he said, this is what real love is like. It is sacrificial. And it's a willingness to give of yourself to meet someone else's need. Now, if you turn back to 1 Corinthians again, verse 13, there's a part of a definition I got out of the NIV Study Bible, and I really like the way it said this. So catch this one here as far as what is love from God's perspective. It's a selfless concern for the welfare of others that is not called forth by any quality of lovableness in the person loved. And just think this one through with me. It's a selfless concern. So it's really not, what am I going to get out of this? But I'm concerned for somebody else and their welfare, what's best for them. And it's not because that person is so lovable, okay? But it's because I'm supposed to love people because God calls me to that. And that's how God loves us, all right? So it's not based on that person that you think, well, this is a really nice person. They're easy to love kind of a thing, you know? But it's, no, I'm to love people as Jesus did. And you realize Jesus loved us when we were unlovable? It says Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And at that point, the Lord describes that to us. We were enemies of God. We didn't want anything to do with him. We were going the opposite direction. God was calling us to himself, and we were saying, I got my own thing going. I really don't need you right now. And the Lord kept tugging at us and kept bringing us to himself. And the Lord loved us when we were unlovable. We had nothing to offer him, and he still loved us. Now, that's the kind of love he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. That type of love for one another that says, I love you because God created you, because of you belong to him. And it's not because I look at you and say, you're so lovable. I just want to love on you, you know, kind of a thing. No, that's not what he's talking about at all. Now, normally we don't have this kind of love, you know. This is a love that God has to put in our heart. And this is why Jesus can tell us even to love our enemies. Because God did. He loved us while we were his enemies. And if he says the standard is you love people not because of their that they're lovable, but you love them because they told you to. I want you to love that person. Then we have that desire to love as God loved, okay? Most of the time our selfishness is I'll love you if I get something back out of it, you know. And Hollywood unfortunately destroys the picture of love for us, and it's really lust. It's not I love you because it's for your better welfare. No, it's lust. I want something, you know. Sure, I'll love you if I get what I want, you know. And that's the attitude that we see in our society who don't know the Lord. So let's go into 1 Corinthians 13 because he's going to let us get a bigger picture of love as the practicality of it. What does it really look like in life, okay? In 1 Corinthians 13 down to verse 4, love is patient Love is kind. And that word patient means it's long-suffering, that it'll hang in there for a long time with someone. So it's not talking about people that you really just enjoy being with because they really do something for you, make you feel better being around them kind of thing. But it's for those people that might have be hard for you to deal with, you know, that it really stresses you to be around them. And the Lord says to be patient, be long-suffering, because he's that way with us. And then on top of that, after you really put up with that person, you know, he says to be kind to them. And boy, you imagine this, that there's somebody who you really have a hard time with, you know, and they like being around you, but you don't really like being around them kind of a thing. And they kind of wear on you. So you know people like that, okay? Now, the opportunity comes that they all of a sudden kind of open themselves to you. And you have a chance at that point to just let them have it, you know? And the Lord says, that's not love if you do. You just messed up what love looks like. It's at that point that you have opportunity to be kind to them and really show them God's love. Now, you know, from some of the expressions I just saw on your faces, we could probably stop here and go to prayer sessions, because I imagine most everybody had somebody come to mind like, oh, no, we're not talking about that person, you know? And the Lord is saying, yeah, we're kind of talking about that person. Because that's where we have a chance to really show God's love. It's easy for us to love people we like, isn't it? I mean, somebody that you like being around, that's simple. I like what somebody said. They said, you know, loving God is easy because he's perfect. It's people. We're the ones that aren't perfect, and it's hard loving each other. And I think that's why the Lord told us, I want you to love people sacrificially. Because you're not going to find the perfect people to love. They don't exist, okay? Only God is perfect. And he is easy to love. Because he always does what's best for us. He's always looking out for us. He's always protecting us. He's always watching over for us. And you know what's best? He's always there for us. He never leaves us. We disappoint each other. There are times we aren't there for each other, but the Lord's always there. He's easy to love. But the Lord says, I want you to have my kind of love. I want you to be patient with people, be long-suffering with them, and when the opportunity comes, be kind. Ooh, that's tough stuff. It goes on, it says, it does not envy, it does not boast. And you got to remember, the church he's talking to here at Corinth, I'm sure as some people were lifting up their spiritual gift above others, that there was a lot of envy going on. And the Lord calls us to contentment. You know, whatever gift he has given you, whatever gift he has given me, we need to be content with what we have. And you know, honestly, I've been in churches before when I was a younger believer, and people were flaunting their gifts, and I was saying, man, I wish I had that gift, you know, because I could sit in the front row too, kind of a thing, you know, with the rest of them who show off their gift. And it does cause envy, and it shouldn't be that way. The gifts are important for us to show love to one another as the Lord uses that gift in us. So he goes on, it doesn't envy, it does not boast. And I like the New King James that says it doesn't parade itself. The idea is it doesn't desire to be the center of attention. See, if we have that desire that I want to show you my gift and I want to show it off, then I want you to see me. And you think about this, any time we have a gift, it is a special thing God has given us to use for his glory. It's his gift. He's only given it to us to use for a time, and it's the Spirit working through us anyway. So all glory and attention should go to who? The one who gave the gift. All right, not to us. It's kind of like the mailman. You know, he brings you a very important letter in the mail. Maybe it's a big check you just got or something, and you're going to hug the mailman and thank him. Thank you so much for giving me this check, you know, and all he did was deliver it to the door. You know, matter of fact, he may not even like you or me, you know, but he had to bring it because it's his job, so he gave you the check, and he doesn't really want you hugging on him, you know, kind of a thing. So that's the same picture here. It's not the one who has the gift. It's the one who gave the gift, you know. It goes on here, does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And the proud idea is, look up to me, but I'm going to look down on you. And the idea that my gift is better than you, or I'm better than you because of my gift, or something like that. And that's not love, okay? Now, I go through this, and it's kind of ridiculous in the one sense, and kind of sad on the other hand, I have to say. When you see these guys on TV who are portraying spiritual Christianity, please read this passage, because what they're showing you is not this picture of love that you see, if they're flaunting their gift or they're flaunting themselves. All right? And it's sad. You shouldn't even have to say that. You know, you would hope that, people who know their job is a speaking gift, or that they are in front of people, that they would remain humble and not say, look at me, look at my gift, I am spiritual, and you probably aren't. You know, you need to be a little bit more like me, kind of a thing. And the Lord cautions us here that that is not love. And that's not the picture he wants the world to see of what love really looks like. So it's not that proud look that I'm better because of my gift and you're not as good. I'm going to look down on you. Verse 5, it is not rude. And the picture there is, get out of my way. You know, are these guys in this church, I'm sure the ones with the spiritual gifts probably had the front row seats. You know, not to pick on you guys, but they had the front row seats, and I'm sure if someone were sitting in their seat when they arrived, they said, get out of my seat. You know, that's my seat. It's the place of honor, and that's where I belong, kind of a thing. So it's not being rude, get out of my way, or telling someone, you're such a pain, you know. That's rude. And the Lord says that is not a picture of love. I heard a guy one time in the radio who was talking about Jesus as though Jesus had this attitude with the disciples sometimes.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will